Blog Talk Radio.
Ma-Afrika, emotle. Afrika, omhle. The beautiful African. Izwi lethu. Fatshe la rona. The land is ours. Tiko ra hina. Shango lasho. Ma-Afrika, as Ma-Afrika, we enhance, uphold, and protect the human right and fundamental rights of the individual Mo-Afrika, in Africa and globally. Mo-Afrika land is supreme. It is the root, the foundation we live on and live by. Mo-Afrika, the individual Mo-Afrika in particular, is superlative. As we speak for now, Mo-Afrika, there is one life to one individual, Mo-Afrika. You, the individual, have one life, no more. That's it. And Mo-Afrika, you are. Your life is precious, Mo-Afrika. It is a national and sovereign asset. You are precious to us. And if handled properly, Mo-Afrika, you can play your critical and pivotal role in building the nation and competing against others. Not to be a subject, to become a subject, subjugated. Africa, we fought the liberation struggle. We've got to move on another stage now. We've got to be on another path. As we say that, your individual life is precious. It is a national sovereign asset. Not the buildings and the bricks and whatnot. No. But let other people build the elephants and steal money from us to do that. What is the point, Ma-Afrika? We build the structures, and then even if the cars you drive in, if you are sick, you are not protected, you are not healthy, and when you run to the hospital, that you only get one tablet, Panado or Tylenol. What's the point? What's the point, Ma-Afrika? What's the point when people take your money to buy ambulances, to go and buy Mercedes-Benzes? There's no point. There is no value and worth in what we fought for. And we've got to recapture that, Ma-Afrika. So we say that you, Ma-Afrika, you are superlative. You are an asset. You are precious to us. Your life is precious. And you are an asset to the nation. Let's go back, Ma-Afrika. Slavery, colonialism, and apartheid was fundamentally about capital, all right? But mostly it was about land theft, occupation, exploitation of land, mineral, and natural resources. It was about theft, bondage, and exploitation of you, Ma-Afrika, of humans among Ma-Afrika. And human labor to raise capital. They just exploited us, Ma-Afrika, to raise capital. It beats me. I cannot understand even today how the freedom fighters in 1994 were so happy to be given the right to vote and did not demand reparations against apartheid economic crimes. Because apartheid was all about money. It was all about capital. Taking land, taking money, taking resources. And that's it. Keeping us hungry and using guns to suppress us. That was the bottom line. And this slavery thing, slavery, colonialism, and apartheid, it lingers on today, Ma-Afrika. It is no longer glaringly brute mass physical bondage. But it's benign. Subliminal, psychological. The color issue still persists in Ma-Afrika. These folks treat us, especially there are those amongst other races who have made it a point that no, they are going to suppress us to eternity, forever. And life is too short, Ma-Afrika. You got to stand up. That's why we are crying about the governance of our power. How do we handle the power, the liberation power that we've won? Because it's been wasted. People are chasing money with it. You are no different from, like we are saying, that we have mercenaries, profiteers, unscrupulous thieves amongst us, and they are using this black thing, black skin, to scheme us, Ma-Afrika. To cream us, in fact, to cream us. and majority still hungry, majority unemployed, majority homeless, majority no good health care. What's the point? 21 years after the fact, the master-servant relationship continues today in Africa, but the hegemony of capital and international currency dynasties, the manipulation of the international currency, money, capital. Sometimes you have vulture capitalists, all right? And of course, you have technology and military supremacy. Those things rule the world today. Either they can shoot you out or buy you out. That's it. And we have today our African nations, since 1960, fighting from Algeria, Cape to Cairo, Morocco, let's say from north to south, because sometimes you get old, you just become forgetful. The point is, my Africa, the African nations are splintered, weak. They've got weak currencies. And that's the biggest cause of Africa's resource curse, theft of our minerals, theft of land, theft of mineral and natural resources. And if we call ourselves liberated, my Africa, why African nations do not adopt and implement one single African currency? Why? 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 Because some of your currencies are worthless. And Mu'Africa Muammar Gaddafi, may his soul rest in peace, he called and advocated for Africa to adopt a single currency. And that may be one of the major reasons why they had to eliminate him. The imperialists had to get rid of him. They said to murder him. This great Pan-African leader. We can never have one of this. We will never have one like him. Never. Let me not say never. It may happen that it develops, but because we are insurgent people, we are not static. We are moving forward. It may happen. It may happen, my Africa. It may happen because African consciousness is not going back, going forward. And talking about North America here, slavery, my Africa, created slave quarters. It segregated black communities. And we survived. We survived because there was underground railroad in terms of liberation of the enslaved people. We fought. Our freedom was never given to us on a platter. And we, in the latter days, my Africa, racism still persists. All right, we have segregated black communities, and we've had black ghettos. And this has created segregated black communities across America, but also, most important, economically segregated, suppressed and discriminated against. Now, our biggest economy, food stamps, my Africa, is our biggest economy among the black people, the biggest. That is a fact, the biggest, my Africa. So we have the examples of Flint community in Michigan State, for those who are not outside the United States. Flint is a community in Michigan State, right? Here in the United States. Now, this community, like all other black communities, is 57% majority black. The town grew out of General Motors. At the time, GM was the biggest Flint community employer, was the biggest employer in town. But GM abandoned the community, went overseas. You remember when companies were migrating overseas for cheap labor and big profits? That's what they did. So Flint economy collapsed, never recovered. And it is the reason why the state, which of course is the government is white, the state imposed on Flint, on the Flint economy, what we call emergency management. Now you have the mayor, we have the legislature. While the governor imposes the emergency management, it means it's ruled by decree. The mayor don't say anything. The legislature can't say. It is the managers that the interventionist management that has the last word. Those are it's like a dictatorship. You have no word. Your word don't count. Community, the voters or constituency, your word don't count no more. Now, it so happened that to cut costs, the management, I think they wanted to save about $7 million. Now, the water from the community was coming from Lake Huron, a distance away from the community. So these fellows, the management, said, no, we're going to cut costs here. There's a river that flows right here in Flint, called Flint River. Why don't these people drink that water? We might as well tap that water right there. But the fact is that when they got the water from Flint River, they never tested it. Africa, they never tested it. And simply because black folks, you know, we have been dumped on garbage. Huh? Garbage water, toxic water, poisonous water, given the people did not test it. So the people started to react. And it's over a year, now, 2 years almost, that they called, they howled, they protested, they held community board meetings, and in fact came with jars, bottles of carrying water that they took from their taps, that drinking water, toxic water, brown in color, Africa, to show the emergency managers that, look, man, we are drinking poison, we are worried about our health and the health of our children. And these managers told them, no, situation is under control, man. You continue drinking, you know. And like as usual, they have, of course, white Caucasian managers of the team, and they've got to have one or two blacks. So the black ones, hopefully, are the ones, I would assume, imagine, were the ones who were doing the talking, smooth talking. But no, you drink the water, man. The water is fine. But at the same time, the state, because the state has offices, they were shipping bottled water, purified water, and coolers to their workers in those buildings, not the community. They delivered clean water to their workers, Mafrika, in Flint. And not the let the community drink dirty water. Dirty water in the United States of America, 2016, Mafrika. So you had General Motors. General Motors was based there. That is the General Motors community. And General Motors discontinued using the toxic water from Flint. They said, no. This water has heavy lead concentration and it's corroding our pipes. We can't use the water no more. We are going to. And they made a report, but it never dawned, registered with the managers. So we have a problem here. So the management continued feeding people poisonous water, feeding them dirty toxic water. And children got rashes, man, pimples. Somebody was saying that among other people, they had their hair was falling, and people were dying of Legionnaires' disease. But the children, my Africa, so it so happens that there was a the children's doctor, pediatrician, who was worried too, and said, took one or two children and got them tested. Now, suspicious that these children might be drinking something. They might be, so they took their blood to test it, and the blood came back with heavy concentration of lead. So, Maverick, lead is a neurotoxin, all right, and it lowers IQ and triggers behavioral and emotional problems. In Africa, you could say that to call it environmental racism. But before I get to that, and you had the director of the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, the EPA is the arm of the federal government above the state, all right? It takes care of environmental health, you know, in the whole of the United States. And technically, they have oversight. And they can overrule the state if it comes to push. But the director was there during these complaints and the rashes and the falling hair out and did not take the matter up with the federal government. No. Didn't do anything. And she happens to be Caucasian. That's very critical, my friend. Very, very critical, because what that amounts to, you have people in our community who are educated. They are there because, of course, they got expertise in terms of being, and if they're white, well, as I say, that we are for the human race, we Africans, because we never aggressed anybody. We are for protection of the human rights, individual rights, and fundamental rights. All right. But until such time, we got to wait until such time a person shows you. In fact, you don't have to wait until the person shows you the contrary, the bad part, because they're bad people, especially those who are strategically positioned, because they can cause more damage. That is, you got KKKs in many levels. And Africa, you should be lucky you have two people, of course, that can support you, even among our race. So a person can just turn against you. But those of the so-called superior race, they have wicked people, evil people amongst them, who can cause us damage. So you got to be on the lookout. Do not antagonize or be, you know, objectionable to people. You can do that. But be aware that you got snakes that will bite you, that bite other people, other human people of other human, especially the black race. This director, I mean, what he did was benign neglect, knowingly, intentionally, and maliciously suppressed the test. Or maybe she was not aware, but she didn't do anything. All right? When the poison toxic signals were so glaring. So we might as well say that, Mafika, this person. And also that the most important thing is that the lead poison concentration. EPA, the 15 parts per billion is the limit, Africa, for EPA, all right? And for a filter to work, it has to be up to 150 parts per billion. Now, with Flint, Africa, they were more than 400, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000 parts per billion. I mean, that's a killer. That's poisoning people right here in the United States. So, in Africa, we may as well, we say, other folks are saying this was environmental racism, environmental discrimination. I would say, in Africa, it was environmental apartheid. Apartheid, castration, and lobotomy. Lobotomy, because if you give children neurotoxins that are going to lower their IQ, that's death. That's death. And we used to have situations where drugs were infiltrated in the black communities when the communities were thriving, so that that killed black communities. So it's the same thing. It's no different. It's the same thing. So in Africa, there was 2 years of outrage until it became public, national, and there is federal intervention. And as we speak, the U.S. Congress has allotted, I think, $600 million, $400 million to replace the toxic lead pipes. That's progress to a great extent, Africa. But the difference is being in the United States, because as we point out to those of us in Africa, the individual is critical, Africa. Your voice counts, and you got to have a community representative that's going to protect you. Flint, Africa, it happens, have no grocery store. I don't believe this. Oh, grocery store. No fruits and vegetables, my friend. But Africa has a land mass, and in South Africa, land is occupied, because we have leaders that 21 years after the fact now discovered recently that the land was stolen, so they have to get the land back. Jiving. Jiving. Ducking and jiving. 21 years after the fact. It's like talk glibly. You know, you want to get people know that you are aware of this, but why do you do this to us? Why? So we have the landmass, produce vegetables, produce fruits. We can't even afford the fruits in the country because why? The currency is devastated. I mean, if you have to buy an apple for 5 rands, 6 rands, pumpkin for 15 rands, and then you have sometimes a watermelon is almost 50 rands. What a mess. So there are battles that have to be done intrinsically at the core, all right? And in Flint, school district had one navigating nurse, just one. The whole district, Africa, no nutritionist. What did the people eat? What did the children eat? They eat junk. Huh? Compounded with toxic water. Drink toxic water and then you eat junk food. That's why we pointed out in the last program that why do you have American women give their breast to feed infants in South Africa when we have such a landmass full of vegetation, full of herbs, full of organic, anything organic that you wish to eat. You can mix it up for the baby. You don't have to get America processed milk from people who don't eat right over here. Most of them have diseases. They are fat, obese. There's diabetes. There's high blood pressure. You take, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. But we are saying, in Africa, that you got to rise up. You got to have your own representative, community representative, to represent us. We need that. So the teachers went on strike in Flint, Africa, because infrastructure. And again, Africa is again the color problem. But we cannot persist on this thing of the color problem because we know for a fact that we've had it in under apartheid. We overthrew apartheid. We overthrew colonialism. We overthrew slavery in Africa. What more do we want? Let's take our stuff. Take our stuff and just take it. Equity and ownership, Africa. When GM left Flint, mind you, what they use mostly is platinum. Platinum group metals. Where is it coming from? South Africa. Right there. I know where it comes from. And when I went in those communities, there was no flushing toilets. There was no clean drinking water. The water that you drank on a tap was dead. It had worms in it. And you tell these people that, look, the government says you must take 26%. No, the apartheid mining or monopolies can only give you 26% in 5 years. Take the damn 51%. But the people did not understand. We had bureaucrats, so-called liberationists, who compromised completely. Everything. They compromised everything. So General Motors takes its platinum from South Africa. It takes its chrome from South Africa to build the cars. It takes titanium, it takes manganese, it takes, and there's this titanium used to make paint. What else do we want, Africa? Why should we suffer? Why should we be hungry? Why should we have places like Flint that don't have vegetables? What is our duty? Because wherever you go, you, as a Pan-Africanist, you are a messenger. You got to propagate. You got to put your feet in. That's why we are saying that, Africa, we are calling for Pan-African, global Pan-African economic unity, solidarity, independence, and self-reliance. And Africa, when we say independence, let's take our land, let's take our mineral resources, let's take it back. Anybody that wants to get some free minerals, go to space. You can climb on a space and go there because space is accessible. Leave what is on land for the indigenous African majority. That's it. I mean, let's in South Africa recently, a 56-year-old African man, he collapsed after spending hours in the hot sun waiting for water from municipal water trucks in the country. You know, municipal water trucks, the drought, the people are donating water. And the man was waiting. It is believed he suffered a heart attack brought on by the heart, by the heat and dehydration, and died en route to the hospital. His son told the news networks his father died desperately waiting for water. You die of dehydration waiting for water in a country surrounded by oceans, surrounded by rivers. We have the Inga Dam. Huh? And then there's the problem that we pointed out last week when I was saying that somehow we got to make catchment dams. And one of the comrades pointed out that there was so much water in Mozambique, flooding communities, flooding villages. A woman had to give, a pregnant woman, African woman, mother had to give birth, hanging in a tree, surrounded by water. Giving birth on a tree, surrounded by water. We couldn't catch that water. And the country's drought now. It's dry, 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 dry. And even if you give the farmers something, like I pointed out last week, one of the African farmers, they didn't get anything, nothing, nothing. And I asked him, why don't you have your own community representative, not local councillors, have them in parliament so that you can place a phone. Who do you call among these political parties? Who do you have their numbers, names, offices? In fact, they didn't even open up constituency offices, the money that they paid for. They used that money to go and buy cars, buy petrol, and, you know, sometimes go to parties, and that's what they do. And you can imagine if the man went to the hospital, what would he find? Decrepit equipment, stolen sometimes. Like we have pointed out in the past that even lights went off and doctors had to use cellular phones for light. So my Africa to communities in South African Africa, starved of water, starved of food, depending on donated bottles of water. You can't do that. We cannot depend on that. The question is, Africa, you fought, served, suffered, sacrificed for freedom. Like we pointed out in the last program, we may be repeating it. You fought for independence and the right to vote. Use your vote, Africa. That's your power. And you're saying that, Africa, elect Africa councillors who will protect your right to water and land. Vote to have your community representative in parliament who will fight for your share of the public government money. There's no point, Mafika. You just hear in the street that government is putting up 40 million. How much of that money is coming to your community? You got to know. Have your representative where the money is being dispersed. And it is, as you pointed out, that we have the collective right to own the people's parliament. That's where we decide who gets what. We can split that money and let's argue for 24, 48 hours, arguing who gets what. We cannot be beggars, depending on donations of water, of food, of clothing, of this. We fought to liberate the country, man, and let's be liberated. You know, looking back, my figure, as I was saying, that the Flint issue.
90 seconds.
It's not limited to Flint. It's all over. Because in Detroit, all the black communities, municipalities, are under emergency state management. And the people are calling for this to come to an end because they want their fundamental right, they want their constituency right, they want their electoral right to be able to decide on their communities. And the Flint water example, the toxic water, Flint River, is an example of what not to do. But also, it's a very important signal, my figure, that we have to stand and fight. Because not only did they bring drugs into black communities, most of our kids have ended up in jail because of drugs. And sometimes you tell them. But because you are also being blocked, we have people who are watching our communities. All right? Unlike other folks who can make a $20 billion only to be discovered when there's a currency crunch, you make 1 million and 500,000, even 250,000. They start asking questions, and they look at you and try to fish you out, like we've had the Black United Fund here. So, my Africa, globally, as people of African descent, we've got to protect ourselves. Yes, we are not objecting to anybody. We love everybody, but let's protect ourselves first. It's self-defense. Isolating Africa, the land is ours. Fatsala Rona, Shingolashu, Tikorahina. Thank you for the privilege of talking to you, and thanks for the privilege of listening. Thank you.